Thanks for tuning into the Canadian Beacon Podcast. Canadian events for the regular people.
Well, good evening, good day, or good morning. Whenever you're listening to our podcast, you've reached the Canadian Beacon Podcast for a great evening on September 14th. Here we are. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Hello.
And Todd.
Howdy.
And myself, Craig. Well, right off the bat, let's have some interesting, what's the word for it, gossip or information that was just brought to me by no other than Brian himself. Rumor has it, no confirmation on it, though, is that Trudeau's plane is allegedly detained by Indian authorities after drug dogs detected a large amount of illegal substances on board the aircraft. And that was the real reason for the delay for the aircraft leaving India after the G20. Well, that's kind of a big thing, but that's a rumor what's going on right now. What do you think, guys?
It's more accurate than anything else the government has told us in the last 5 years.
Yeah, it's...
Let's be honest. They drink how much on a flight anywhere?
Right? Yeah.
They're not partying and just getting ripped on drugs? Of course they are. These are the most irresponsible people in the country who have been placed in charge of the country.
Well, yeah. I'm sure they found sex toys too.
Oh, yeah,
does it even surprise us?
It's not surprising. That's why it's probably true. It's because it's not surprising. Like, you expect this of them, which is disappointing because these are the people who are supposed to represent and lead our country, and our expectations are so low. This isn't surprising.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and you know what them owning up to anything and being responsible. Like, I mean, he has already said at his retreat, he's not resigning because he has important work to do over the next 2 years.
Yeah. Yes, important work. So his options were resign or rope. And he chose rope, I guess.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Well, the source, let me get to the source of this was iSource News was the source of this information. That and it's going across the internet pretty like a wildfire, I guess.
Well, that's,
yeah, let's talk about that meeting in London. Have you heard anything about that, Todd?
Oh, just there's a lot of he got hackled, and there's just so many of the backbenchers that just want him gone. They're just in total disarray. And he is demonstrating that he's an extreme narcissist. Because any leader in the past, when they've realized that they're extremely unpopular, they've just resigned for the sake of their government and their party. And he's not doing either.
That's back when we had standards too, right?
Yeah. Well, he's just an extreme narcissist because he's you know, I'm not comparing him, his whole history to Hitler, but if you look through history, that extreme narcissist dictatorial leaders would take their country down with them.
Let's compare him to his dad, right? Castro? It's the same thing.
That's true.
Right? Like,
yep.
Yeah.
He is his father's son.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, and look at, speaking of Castro, let's look at the state of Cuba right now, right? It's in total disarray, and apparently their tourism is going flushing down the toilet. They opened themselves up to two large Chinese military bases. I guess they're kind of taking money anywhere they can get it, I guess.
Oh, yeah, they need hard currency to buy fuel because they've they had a fuel crisis beginning when the Soviet Union collapsed, because the Soviet Union used to just bail them out with tons of aid and oil. It's just not happening anymore. Yeah. I went there. I was probably there 8 or 9 years ago. I can't stand the place, to be honest.
Yeah, I found even when we were back there, it was kind of, things were on the shorthand and on the very bland end.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We've had family members there within the last couple of months, a couple of them, right? Like,
yeah.
And nothing they say about the place is it's doing great. Like, they're struggling. Like, I was there back in, it would have been 2019, 2018.
Oh, yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
When I was on tour there, I came back home from my HLTA leave there, and I went to Cuba for a bit.
Yeah, that's right. I thought you went to the Dominican, but it was Cuba.
I went to Cuba, yeah.
He went full commie.
Yeah, I went to commie, and luckily didn't get arrested for being a NATO country member, you know, things and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They almost wouldn't let me leave.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, my passport went through the wash before I went down there. And it was good enough to get there, but when I wanted to leave, they kind of were like, "Well, no, we think you forged your passport."
I don't speak a word of Spanish, and you think I have
a passport? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm a Cuban national. I'm trying to escape. Yeah,
yeah. They opened my wallet and showed them all the, you know, identification that I have. And
it, yeah.
They finally let me go, but they were dicks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's...
And that, you know what? I just found the place, you know, all the tourist people are just, you know, apologists for the Castro regime, right? That's how they...
Yeah.
They're forced to.
Yeah.
Well, generally, my experience when going to Cuba is that on the bus ride from the airport to the resort, you have a Castro propagandists speaking the whole time, exalting the great benefits of Cuba and how great it is and all that kind of crap, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing that drove me up the wall, is these the Cuban propagandists right at the beginning all the time.
Every time.
Oh, yeah.
Every time.
Well, and that's why you see those people wearing those Che Guevara shirts, right, Craig?
Yep.
Yeah, those freaking commies, eh?
Oh, it's fun. Like, I prefer my enemies to wear a uniform.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, yeah. It's nice that they can identify themselves, right?
Yeah. It
makes them real easy to pick out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of that, I was by there today, and that's another story. So we have good old Trudeau heckled at the London caucus meeting, and he's not too popular with his own caucus, yet he still clings to power, and he still says that he has much work to do, and he is at the all-time low popularity rate of any serving prime minister in the history of Canada.
Yeah, well, there's a silver lining to this is that the longer he stays, the worse it's going to get for him.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
I mean, of course, it's, you know, even if the Conservatives took power tomorrow, not much would change. They're slow walking us to disaster where the Liberals are at a full gallop.
Yeah.
You know, I'm grudgingly going to probably end up voting for him. I like the philosophy of some pundits out there to say, yeah, be great for the Conservatives to get in, and people will finally realize that they're not much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm partial to just letting them run their course and choose their own fate at this point. I don't care who gets in. It doesn't matter to me. If you get the Liberals, it's going to happen faster. If you get the Conservatives, you buy yourself 4 years.
Yeah, and I it's just my pride and ego that I want to see Trudeau suffer, because I know that's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
To suffer defeat like that, he'll be bitter.
Oh yeah,
he'd be very upset. And chances are, what do you think the chances are if defeated in an election that he'll actually give up power?
I think it's 50-50.
You know what I mean?
There's a good chance they're going to start a war before they run another election, and they're going to be like, oh, Emergency Measures Act. Nobody can run an election because we're at war, wartime. Get over it. I'm in charge indefinitely.
Yeah, I think this is really the last card they could play.
Yeah.
Because the economy's going for shit. We're looking at some listings of a realtor in the area the other week, and I think fully a third of the houses had new prices that they listed.
Oh, yeah.
So what's that tell you?
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, that's the other thing. The housing starts are down, apparently, and pricing in housing is starting to slowly drop. But I just saw an interesting thing as well, is that the average Ontario two-bedroom apartment for rent is at $2,700 a month.
Holy shit.
The average.
He announced at the retreat that they're taking the GST off apartment rental rates or something.
Oh, yeah.
Off rents, yeah.
That's going to make a difference at that kind of price, right?
Yeah.
It's just
like that would be 2.5 weeks of my pay per month just going strictly to rent.
Yep.
Then that's not including any other bills you have, your car, your phone, electricity, internet, everything else on top, food.
Yep.
What do you have left over?
Yeah, working poor.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
You're screwed.
Yeah.
And people fully feel now, the vast majority of people feel they're not getting ahead in life.
Well, they can't. Yep.
Not at those kind of prices, no.
No. No.
So that's incredible, though. $2,700 a month.
Yeah.
Average rent in Ontario.
Yep. Well, rates now are what, 5% for mortgage?
Mortgage rates are running around 6 to 7, I think.
Okay. Oh, sorry, the prime's 5. And the Bank of Canada governor said that they didn't increase the rates last time, but they said they would in the future in order to control inflation.
Yeah.
Which is insane, because you think about that. Most people are going to end up paying something like $4,000 a month in a mortgage.
Yeah.
Which is even worse than renting. Yeah. Like,
well, and again, it's simple math. They build about 250,000 homes a year. They're bringing in 1.5 million people per year. They can't build any more because they can't find people to do the job.
Yeah.
And it's going to cause a crack up in the housing market.
It's the same when you look at the unemployment, right? Like, oh, we created 200,000 jobs this year. Yeah, but you immigrated 800,000 people.
Yeah.
So where are these people getting their money from? 600,000 odd people. Like, that's not including the unemployed Canadians who have lived there their whole lives. Like, they can be damned, I guess.
Yeah, well, there's still no jobs there's just no jobs for them at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we don't hire them because they're white. Yeah. End of, full stop, end of story. Like, sorry, we have other people who we brought in to take your job.
Mm.
Well,
that could be a popular belief, for sure, that it's looked that way.
Well,
go ahead, Todd.
And I'm wondering sometimes if the whole rationale for bringing these people in is to create that division and resentment in order to take the focus off what the real problem is. We could handle that immigration if we had a free market and booming economy.
I don't know if we could. That's excessive. Like they want Canada to hit something like 1 billion people by 2040.
No, really? I thought it was 100. I thought it was 100
million.
100 million? Yeah, okay. So 100 million people. We're only at like 40 million now?
Yeah.
So we're at 49 million. So by 2040, they want to bring in or increase
60 million people. Yeah. That's another country.
Right? Like
that would be 60 million they would bring in.
60 million. Because we're not birthing enough children to even come close to meeting that.
Yeah. Well, see, there's a couple of sort of theories that why are they doing this? One, if they bring in enough people, they believe that it'll kickstart the economy in order to raise their revenues to inflate their way out of the debt. Or they're bringing in people because they're idiots and they just are self-serving and these are their future voters.
Yeah.
Or three, they're bringing in it's an invasion to crack the country up and put it in disarray.
Yeah.
I think number three is the closest to accurate.
Whether it's intentional or not, it's happening, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a side effect or intentional.
Yeah.
Right.
And, nothing out there right now gives you cause for optimism. The war, the economy, the political situation, the sort of upsetting of the social order in the country. I mean, there's nothing good. They're attacking on all fronts.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how's that war going for the Ukraine? Oh, they started to conscript women now. Oh, good.
Are they conscripting women?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, for medics, and they went to Poland and were asking the Polish government to start help rounding up eligible males.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think there's about 4 million Ukrainian refugees in Poland.
So if you listen to this and you've come to Canada and you're Ukrainian, stay away from the police because it will be happening here next. Don't go die in this stupid, pointless war.
No, that's the best thing they could do. Of course, I was dealing with an idiot on Facebook today with the Ukrainian flag in his background.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, some tub of gut. Oh, I didn't really get an argument. He was one of these climate Barbies going on about, I made the point that even if climate change is real, we're about 3% of the problem at best.
Yeah.
And what are we going to do? And his response was, well, then just do nothing then.
Okay.
It's like, I know you are.
That's my plan.
I know you are, but what am I?
Yeah.
I should have said what Brian does. What did you say, Brian? How you doing?
Or,
good
news. Hi. Good news.
Good news. Yeah, good news.
Or hi, how's your lunch?
But you know what? It's just that stupidity. And I was accused of I should watch the news because then I would be more informed.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Definitely.
The news that is heavily skewed and paid for by the liberal propaganda machine. Yes.
I understand the Ukrainian flag now in his background.
Yeah. You should have told him, like, if you're going to fly that flag in your Twitter bio or Facebook or whatever it may be, what are you doing here? Get over there.
People. Slava.
Come on, get in there. Go Slava.
Slava. Yeah, Slava your way over there, you tub of guts.
Oh, yep. You can't get a flight into the Ukraine. No, but you can buy a flight to Poland and a bus trip's real cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they'd be happy to give you a tour.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Not just a tour. Here's a vest with no plates and a rifle with two bullets. Good luck.
Yeah.
Or are you lucky to get the rifle? You might just get the two bullets.
When the man with the rifle dies, the man with the ammunition will pick up the rifle and keep fighting.
Yeah,
we're going back to Stalingrad tactics.
Yeah. That's funny. That's hilarious. That's basically what it is. Oh, here's a guess who's in the news again today?
Oh, no. Who?
Dr. Tam.
Oh, Dr. Tam.
Yeah, I'm glad she wears a mask.
Totally not Chinese spy.
She's now promoting that we should be masking up again, and that it's a requirement, even though there's a study out of the Cochrane Institute, which basically reviews all different studies and capitulates them together to see what the overwhelming result is. From the Cochrane Institute said that the use of masks are absolutely useless. There is no benefit whatsoever to use any of the medical masks available. And yet, here's Theresa Tam arguing for it. And apparently the Ottawa Hospital has already instituted a mandatory mask within the Ottawa Hospital. And a number of other places are starting to, government locations are starting to mask up. A couple of police services have been ordered to mask up, which is interesting.
Uh-huh.
And Dr. Tam is asking that five-year-olds should be getting two doses of the new Moderna COVID vaccine,
regardless of
previous dosages, and six-month-olds should get at least one dose of the new vaccine.
Oh.
And you should wear the, actually it says you should wear the mask. She wants us to wear the mask throughout the whole virus season, even if you aren't sick.
Yeah. No.
Wow.
No. So fight this aggressively.
Fight it. Yeah.
Full stop. This can't happen again, because give them an inch, they'll take a mile, right?
Yep.
Like we saw where this went last time. We do it again, it's not ending. You don't get a break.
There'll be 10 times as many people protesting next time.
But they'll kill you this time.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Well, also the difference, I think any future protests, I've seen how things went the last time with using peaceful means, may not be so peaceful in the future.
No.
I can hope.
Yeah. You know, you talk about the vax. Somebody posted something on, I'll give credit to the Ferryman, who has some really good information sometimes. And he posted a section of the Lethbridge Herald obits that someone put together all the raw data from September 2019 to July 23rd. And you see a bell curve in the number of obits. You know, typically they would see in 1 month around 20. It right around the spring of 2021, the end of March, started out 158, 220, 139, 146, 246, 220, 259, 241, peaked at 313.
Wow.
And it's still higher.
Yep. Just
ridiculous.
It's going down, but what does that say? You can't argue with that. You can pick away at the numbers, you know, more suicides, more people not getting medical treatment,
That's all cause mortality, right?
It's just obituaries. Yeah. The number obituaries. Yeah.
So that's gotta be in line with the UK numbers there that came out a while ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and when you see
do you have those numbers handy there, Jeff or Todd? Or not Todd, Brian?
I can pull them up. Might take a second.
Which one's the British one?
Yeah, they're the UK a couple of weeks
ago. Oh, yes, the rate of death, the different intervals after the vaccine was introduced. Yeah.
From leading report, UK government has published official figures on deaths following COVID vaccination, revealing one in every 482 vaccinated people in England died within 1 month of vaccination. One in every 246 within 60 days of vaccination, and one in every 73 were dead by May of 2022. One in every 73.
Yep.
How many of you took that vaccine?
Millions.
You're playing Russian roulette, man. Like.
Yeah.
Do you hate yourself?
That's like them. Someone handing you that full jar of M&Ms, and it's like 1,000 M&Ms are in there, and they say, oh, have some M&Ms, but there's about 5 of them that are cyanide.
And they take a handful and shove it in their mouth.
Yeah.
Because people aren't taking just one of these things. Like, they're taking 5, 6 of these vaccines. Now they're being told, take another 3, 4, 5. Like, come on.
Come on. Yeah, well, they want you to take 2 Moderna doses, even though you've people are already vaccinated from the previous thing. They want you to take 2 of these new Moderna.
They want you to take 2 things. Right now. Like, right now. Take 2 right now on top of the other 4 that you already took. Not to mention a month from now when they're going to say, it's time for your booster, take another one.
Yeah.
A month later, it's time for your booster, take another one. A month later, it's time for your booster. Like, they're going to keep doing this.
Yeah, they're going to push it as far as they can. And and the sheep to the slaughter, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's incredible. And, there's an interesting... I got to bring up this as well here. I'm going to go slightly off topic. Have you seen the latest thing about Jeremy McKenzie and Diagon?
Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was going to talk to you about that.
Here's from the SaskatchewanToday.ca, a news article from SaskatchewanToday.ca. And it says, headline on Ottawa, Ontario, Freedom Information Request reels that law enforcement may have used ambiguous information about Canadian Forces veteran Jeremy McKenzie and Diagon, which in large part led to the federal government's invoking the Emergencies Act, says 2 investigative journalists. Through the Freedom Information and Privacy Act, independent journalists, it gives their names, obtained 1,000 pages of internal RCMP documents on McKenzie and Diagon. The documents show that all through the RCMP were investigating Diagon, they didn't consider them a group, a militia, or a security threat. A long but revealing read examining how manufacturing hate to criminalize dissent is a standard practice among our government's media minions and their willing collaborators in law enforcement and the usual suspect NGOs, non-government organizations. It is disturbing how easy a political vendetta can be substituted as a fact base on the self-described expertise of a few individuals. These practices were first institutionalized in human rights commissions in Canada and have now spread throughout society to include professional licensing boards and our financial systems. Who can forget Freeland's schoolgirl cackling on revealing the Trudeau's government unperson trucker convoy enemies of the state, right? And that's coming out of Saskatchewan Today. So this weaponizing of police services and the media to try to destroy people and try to villainize opposition to the government's
but
programs.
There's a couple of things I want to hit on here. They used this false information to enact the Emergencies Measures Act, also known as the War Measures Act, right? To shut everything down. They beat up, abused, and possibly killed Canadian citizens. There's one guy who's been trampled by a horse that still nobody knows where he is or what happened to him. They trampled an old lady. They shot reporters point blank with tear gas rounds.
With an Arwen tear gas gun, a 40-millimeter Arwen.
40-millimeter, that's a grenade launcher.
Actually, 37-millimeter, 40-millimeter, like, it's all the same. That's
a grenade launcher. They point blank, they shot a reporter with that. They barrel smashed people in the face with their AR-15s because terrorisms. Like, this was all done under the order of the Liberal governments, told to the police to shut this down. And these people said, well, wait till they taste my jackboots. These people should not be forgiven. They should not be forgotten. And they should be treated with the utmost disrespect you can give them. They are terrible. They are leeches on society. And they should be dealt with.
Yeah, the dogs in Animal Farm, they just don't care. They
don't care.
They just serve who feeds them.
It's my pensions, my paychecks, and my promotions, bruh.
Yeah.
That's all it is. Yeah.
Well, I think even more sinister of this is antihate.ca. And Bernie Farber and all these other...
That goes into the ADL, right? The Anti-Defamation League and their role in all of this.
Jeremy brought up a really good point. Or it might have been Ferryman, brought up a good point that the first funding for the anti-hate network in Canada was from the American Southern Poverty Law Center.
Who owns that?
It's Morris Dees and all these radical Democrats.
That's not surprising.
But they used these people that they funded as so-called experts in the media.
Yeah.
And it was like a self-fulfilling loop where they used they supplied anti-hate, which finds a racist under every rock, and then they brought them onto the media that there's some militias and white supremacists and this whole movement and whatever, and the politicians started listening to it and or used it in order to agitate the police forces.
Yeah. And
the police forces just followed their orders.
They get their information from these people who pay to shut down voices they don't want to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
The government goes, oh, these guys are paying a lot of money. I like what they're saying because I can push my agenda. They reiterate the talking points, and then they go to their police forces and say, here's a terrorist group. We want you to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it goes. And like all roads lead back to the same place, right? Like it's always coming back to these guys. It's always the same guys doing the same thing, pushed by the same money.
That bitch, Rachel Gilmore, calling James Top on Global News, a white supremacist.
Yeah.
And Rachel ended up getting fired by Global, deservedly so. Not because of that, just that she was useless.
I'm pretty sure they sued her over that, too.
Yeah.
What was that they sued her over?
She called James Top a white supremacist.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. She's a silly twat.
Oh, she's dumb as fuck.
Yeah. I annoy her every chance I get. Dean Blundell's block. He's at the very least a sellout. He used to have the raunchiest show on Toronto Radio on The Edge. And he did everything. And now he's just like Mr. Woke, social activist type. It's a joke. He's just prostituting himself to get back on some other media. Should send this to Dean, tell him to go fuck himself.
Yeah. So lots of weird things are going on that way, right? You got the whole woke media and obviously weaponized by the federal government and by the governments in general.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of stupid. So just locally, locally in the province of Ontario, have you been following what's happening with good old Doug Ford and this land transfer and greenbelt stuff?
Not really.
Yeah.
No. It's basically, he's been caught with his hand in the cookie jar is more or less what's happened. Go ahead.
I've read a little bit about it, and correct me if I'm wrong, that it's a tiny little piece of property that he had rezoned. Of course, the developers are connected to the Tory party and him, right?
Yeah.
But it is a very small amount of land, but not to apologize for the guy, But that's how they're going to do it. They're going to just take nips here and there.
Oh, yeah.
And before you know it, it's all going to be gone.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they're planning a community of 40,000 on the shore of Lake Erie in Nanticoke.
Oh, yeah.
40,000. That's double the population. It would double the population of Haldeman County.
Yep.
So,
yeah, because you want to turn Haldeman now into a liberal stronghold, right?
Yep, exactly. It's you know, the saying is in Haldeman, you could run a monkey in the Conservative Party and it'd get elected.
So I was talking to one of the guys I work with about, it's kind of along these lines, about the forest fires recently, and his take on it was interesting. Like all these massive forest fires we've had going across Canada and the States recently, this is the area you would want to go to get away from all of these cities and all of these massive populations to just be left alone. And now it's just gone. And it's the same with all that territory they're selling there, right? And they're going to take a little chunk here, a little chunk there, and it's going to be gone. But this is all of the area you'd want to go to just not be involved in any of this. When worse comes to worse, right? You'd want to just off into the bush. I'm gone. Don't talk to me. You never heard of me. See ya. And now it's all just gone. It went up in flames.
Yeah.
It's being sold off, turned into houses.
The whole thing with the forest fires, we're still, even with the it's funny how the forest fires end at the, what is it, the 49th parallel?
Yeah.
That seems rather odd. And it also, it's funny how all the forest fires, according to satellites, start at the exact same time.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's climate change.
Yeah. And then we have the good old Mr. Climate Change guy saying, this is climate change. He's trying to cry in Parliament there.
Which one was it?
Trudeau.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, he was in tears almost and just losing his mind about the forest fires. It was kind of funny, actually.
It'd be interesting to see the parallels between the ardent vaccinated people and mask-wearing people and people who believe in climate change.
They're all the same people.
That's my point, is I think there's a relationship there.
But, like, have you seen there's been quite a few articles coming out recently about all of these climate change scientists admitting to exaggerating excessively to sell their studies?
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not raising eyebrows, like, well, I don't know what would.
Like, it's like climate porn.
Yeah.
It's the most dire predictions get the most media play and funding.
Right. And like, look at Greta. She said we were going to be dead by what, 2022, 2023 or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something recent that just passed. I think we talked about it. But like, I'm still here. I'm not dead yet. What's going on, Greta?
Yeah. Well, Greta's considered a Joan of Arc for the environmental movement.
Yeah.
She just got burned.
Dum dum.
Yeah. Yeah. What a joke.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting that way. So, what's happening south of the border? Anything?
Aliens.
Yeah, distraction.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you tell us that alien story there, Brian?
Oh, I've looked at it for like 5 minutes. The Mexico government was holding a, I don't know what you'd call it, like a town hall, I guess, and said, hey, if anybody's got proof of aliens, bring it down. And apparently some guy showed up with two bodies that are over 1,000 years old and said, here's your aliens.
Are they the tiny little guys?
Yeah, they're the really tiny little guys. Like, oh, yeah. Okay, cool. They look like your typical grays, like big head, big eyes, small body.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Whether this is true or a really good fake, who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows on that? That they said they're trying to discredit the guy that brought him in now as a charlatan of some kind. So
sure, yeah. But that guy's also said, "Hey, anybody is welcome to come run their own tests on these corpses."
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, typically you wouldn't put that offer out there if you weren't confident in what you had.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, while we're talking about aliens, China's doing a naval exercise with 20 ships and an aircraft carrier.
Oh, yeah.
Where else? Right around Taiwan.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And supposedly people are quoted as saying that they are building up their forces along the coast.
Oh, yeah.
And the prediction is 2024 when they make their move.
Oh, yeah. Just, you know, with them building all their forces along the coast, that just means more targets. Easier to hit. Hey, speaking of that same note, you see Putin released information or a threat saying that they have some new technologies that are almost like UFO research technologies that they're now incorporating into weapon systems that they may start using.
Well, I mean, if the U.S. is coming out and saying, hey, we have UFOs that we've been studying since the 60s, why would the Russians or the Chinese or any other nationality?
They have a bigger landmass. They should have more visitations, right?
Right. Like, if you're going to come out and say something like that, like, hey, we've been studying these spacecraft, well, obviously you're going to start to incorporate that technology into your military first because that's the way this works. Obviously, Russia and China are doing that as well. And any other nationality that may have even had a fraction of a chance of encountering these things.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just see, too. Kim Jong took his steam train to Russia.
Russia? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they actually share a common border, right?
Oh, yeah, right. It's actually China and Russia. And the three countries intersect in that area.
Yep. I didn't realize that. It's just a small little tiny peninsula that actually borders with North Korea.
So do you think we're going to see North Koreans fighting Ukrainians?
Well, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if he lends troops. Like, he's probably going to work out a really nice deal.
This is going to be the weirdest war.
Like the Hessians in the American War of Independence.
Just odd, you know? Like, I kind of want to see what they can do. I'm curious.
The only thing that's been predictable is the Turks have stabbed their ally in the back.
Why? Because they're selling Russia drones? Or who are they selling drones to? Are they selling them to the Ukes, or are they selling them to the Russians?
Probably both. Yeah. But he's kind of, you know, distancing himself from Putin.
He is.
Mm-hmm. And they've been staunch allies.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's kind of funny, you know, he's... The Turkish government is the second or third largest military in NATO.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're huge.
Yeah, but at least half a million men in the army itself.
Yeah.
And with battle experience.
Yeah, really, because they've been fighting the Kurds and the Syrians and the Iraqis and everybody and their brother, right?
Yeah.
And the majority of their equipment is Western, but now they brought in that SAM 400, M-400 system from Russia.
Yeah, isn't it ironic?
Yeah.
A NATO member having
Russian
equipment.
Yeah, ground air. Well, that's, you got Poland, you got all these Eastern Bloc nations that have Russian equipment too, though, but this is the first time fully dedicated, fully westernized military has outright purchased and brought in Russian military equipment for their for their purposes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of strange that way. But, yeah, Biden, what's the latest on Biden? Yeah, I think he was kind of babbling a bit. Oh, he was in a at a meeting of something, and he just started babbling on about it, and everybody's looking at him like, what the frick is this guy doing? And they had to take him off stage or something?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just another day, really.
Yeah, another day.
I mean, he makes fool out of himself. Yeah, shit's
like
his
he
pants.
Started like going da da ba ba da ba da ba da ba 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 like this.
Reminds me
like
of
not even speaking in words,
and...
just kind of.
Maybe he was trying Vietnamese and saying "we love you long time."
Yeah. Like he probably says
boom,
he's in the
boom boom.
He probably claims he's in the Vietnam War of some kind, right?
Yeah, he probably did fight in the Vietnam War, or he would tell somebody that.
Yeah.
The
Scranton kid.
Like, can you look at anything right now that's going on that you're optimistic about?
It's actually this week. I'm going to say not too much. No.
Yeah.
Politically, across the world, really with the pandemic part due coming up now.
The sequel.
And that drives me nuts. Every time I see someone with a mask, I always want to say, hey, when is this war over for you? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when are you going to get past this? Like, you're wearing a mask in the public area, like out in the air, outside. What possible benefit is this going to be for you? You know?
Mm-hmm. Brian, you should look for chicks who wear masks.
Why?
Because they got no willpower.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean I want to put up with their stupidity.
Well, just for a while.
Not even worth it. not even remotely. Like,
well, you give them a false name and a false and you can't.
Yes, that's not even the issue. It's just tolerating someone who is borderline mentally challenged. It feels abusive. Like,
yeah.
These people are...
Oh, now you made me feel bad.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, these are like Greta Thunberg level people.
Almost.
Like, they're not okay. Is. Like, these
it's
people,
like,
I feel like they've
you gotta
actually...
You got to be nice to people that have mental disabilities, right? And it's like they fall into that same category as underage, right?
Yeah, like I almost feel bad for them if it wasn't their choice, but it is their choice to be an idiot, so I don't feel bad for them. I just don't want to be around them in any aspect ever.
Especially that aspect?
Well, I don't even want to be near them breathing, so yes.
Yeah.
I feel like they make everyone around them dumber by existing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the best one is the mask in the car when they're by themselves.
I want to just ram them. I hate it so much. All right. Boom.
What you do is that, like when you drive by them, you point your finger at your head and just go like, you know, do the circle thing and look at them. You're nutcase.
Or you roll your window down and sneeze on their car window.
Yeah.
Too paranoid to leave.
I go for physiotherapy on my shoulder, and sadly, at the same time I go, I get this, there's this, believe it or not, she is from what I understand, a high level university professor in the health field. And she shows up every morning wearing this freaking mask that we can barely see anything but her eyes. And she wears this thing everywhere, outside, inside, constantly. Huh. I was looking at her like he's just a crazy nut, basically.
Well, I like the idea of Teresa Tam wearing a mask.
Well, yeah, that's just a benefit to the public from seeing her face.
There are studies that have said that ugly people are more likely to hang on to holding or to wearing masks. So just putting that out there. You wear a mask, yeah. You're just blatantly ugly. That's what you're telling the world.
Well, she turns does a have three a into face. A
six, right?
No.
It turns a three to a six.
It's no,
like beer she, goggles.
She's, no, there's not enough beer in the world. She's got a face like, I won't say what she's
you
got.
You can paper
like.
Bag it?
No, I was thinking like a can of smashed assholes, but. Craig, how much editing are you going to do?
Yeah, that's. I think I'm going to be forced to do a little editing on this one. And note to self, edit this part out.
Yeah.
It's, you're going to be listening to the podcast. It's just going to be.
Yeah.
Okay, and carry on.
And Todd, what do you say about this? And Brian.
Yeah.
It is the policy of the Canadian Beacon podcast system that we'll only edit information which is racial or demeaning to to other
persons.
I just
called her ugly.
Yeah.
I mean, I did call mask wearers mentally challenged.
Well, they are, you know.
They are. They're like,
in spite of the, like, what kills me is that here's medical institutions which are adopting masks when every single study shows the non-benefit of wearing masks. That there is no benefit.
Yuri Bezmenov.
What's that, Brian?
Yuri Bezmenov, the ex-KGB agent who is all over YouTube. You can look him up and see all that stuff.
Yeah.
They will not acknowledge any amount of proof, no matter how much you hold it in their face and prove it to them. Once they have been indoctrinated and demoralized, they will believe the lie to the death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a need to believe something. And if you're weak and don't, you know, have any critical thought, then yeah, you just fall. Well, who did most of the killing in the Nazi regime?
Right.
Highly educated people.
Yeah.
One of the worst was a doctor.
Yeah. Mr. Mengele.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, but then, you know, we always talk about the Nazi death camps and everything else, this, but we also can't forget about the Stalin's death camps and murderous tirades, or Mao Zedong's millions he killed, or Pol Pot. And you know, and the Armenian genocide, and
yeah, the Nazis were amateurs. Like,
we're, you know, and you know, it's all out there.
Yeah, the Nazis are amateurs compared to those guys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's one of those things, right? It's just look at where has communism worked? That's a simple question, right? Where has communism worked?
Oh, but Brian, it's never been tried before.
Well, this yes, way. It has, but it hasn't been tried to your minute change. I'm sorry, but that doesn't matter because people are all the same.
Yeah.
Well, the reality is that's no matter what you see in a textbook or a manual, that's what it translates into. People dying.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's like, oh, well, every man has a job. Every man makes same wage. Okay. But that wage is 13 cents a day and they can't afford to eat. Oh, we will give them food, but you give them one potato for their family and a bottle of vodka.
Yeah.
Like, well,
You want to hear my commie joke?
Always.
Sure.
Ivan saves up, saves up, saves up to buy a new Lada. He saves up for 5 years. He goes into the dealership and he finally has enough money. He puts it down and he says, I want to buy a Lada. The salesman says, sure. He said, it'll be ready for you in 5 years on this exact day. And Ivan goes, what? He says, yeah, 5 years. He goes, okay, is that morning or afternoon? And that salesman goes, well, why is that so important? He goes, well, the plumber's coming in the morning.
Yeah, that's a classic, eh?
Yeah,
but joke as that is, it's true though, right? Like,
oh yeah, starting to happen here.
Mm.
Yeah, when's your
car? Well, did I tell you my car blew up?
Yes.
Yeah, so I got it at the dealership, and the lady looked at me and she says, "Your car number 58." And she says, we can, you know, if they get it fixed, it's going to be 3 to 4 months.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And I'm like, really? Okay. So, yeah, there's things like that because they can't get the engines fast enough. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The new engines to replace these crap engines they built.
But I thought they were bringing in so much skilled labor from other countries.
Yeah. Well, these engines are being made in Korea, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not immigrating all of the skilled labor, right?
No.
Well, I think that's the silver lining. In the next generation, we will start building more of our own stuff.
Yeah.
Of course, we're going to go through a collapse first.
I don't think we will, though. Not in the next generation. I think it's the Zoomers are done. Write them off. They're over. Millennials.
Are we Zoomers, Craig?
No. No,
we're
Zoomers are the generation after me. They're the young kids that are just turning like 18 now.
You're a millennial there?
Yeah, I guess I'm a millennial.
We're post-war babies, right?
We're boomers, but we're boomers, kind of the tail end of the boomer.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1965 was the end of the boomers, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Millennials have given up. My generation has just given up. They don't care anymore. They're walking zombies. They don't care. They'll do whatever you tell them to because they've given up.
Well, it's a lot of parallels to the end of the Soviet Union.
Right.
You're demoralized to the point is that you never can earn enough money because you're taxed progressively.
Yeah.
It's like they commented on the lack of productivity in the old Soviet Union. And one guy said, yeah, we pretend to work. They pretend to pay us.
Yeah. And it's accurate, though. Like, it's true. Because they've given up. They can't own a home. They can barely afford food, barely pay their bills. Maybe if they're lucky, they'll rent a home for the rest of their lives and be able to not go hungry. Zoomers, you have hard leftists or Nazis. There is no in between anymore. You either have trannies walking around or you have Nazis who want them dead.
Yeah.
Like if you look at that next generation of kids, there's no in between. It's going to be horrific. And I already know which side's going to win. It's not the side that screams about their fifis.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's why eventually the communists lost in Germany is that the Nazis are just more aggressive.
It's Weimar.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like we're in Weimar right now, and the next generation after mine is the one that's going to bring about the solution. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Will it be the final solution, Brian?
The final solution, right?
Unfortunately, it wasn't so final, but...
Yeah. So, guys, we've had an interesting discussion, and really we can chalk this tonight's discussion as another slam at Trudeau, another slam at the Liberal Party, another slam at the overall way of politics in Canada and the world for that matter. So I think we had a good discussion. Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Brian. You've been listening to the good old Canadian Beacon podcast. And here
we
are.
Thanks for tuning in to the Canadian Beacon podcast. Please hit the like button and share the podcast with friends.